Then the Lord said to Noah, "Come into the ark, you and all your household, for I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation. Take with you 7 pairs of all clean animals, the male and his mate, and a pair of the animals that are not clean, the male and his mate, and 7 pairs of the birds of the air also, male and female, to keep their kind alive upon the face of all the earth. For in 7 days I will send rain upon the earth, 40 days and 40 nights, and every living thing that I have made I will blot out from the face of the ground." And Noah did all that the Lord had commanded. Do you have your Hebrew Bible with you?
No.
The first word here in chapter 7 said, "The Lord said to Noah," some translation, you might have it in your English, "go."
Come.
Okay, that's good. Because sometimes we make it go, but New King James, that's good.
Yeah.
And in the original Hebrew, it say, "come." Make a difference? Yes, of course, make a difference. Everyone make a difference. The difference between come and go. Right?
Mm-hmm.
What's the difference in English? Come into the ark. What's your understanding? What's the difference between if I say come to, into the ark or go into the ark?
Is it like, come is like a welcoming?
Hmm?
Is it like welcoming me?
Which mean? He's inside. God is inside.
It's towards you.
Yeah. Come into the ark. I'm there. Come. But go, it doesn't mean God is there. Is that right? So it's the first word. God said to him, "Come into the ark," which means I'm there. And this is very, very encouraging and give him peace that God with us. God is always with us. There will be tribulation, there will be rain, but don't worry, I'm there. I'm in the middle of what's happened. You're not going to be alone. So God didn't call him for some things, and God not with him. And always God, and this is for us to understand, that when tribulation or hardship happen, we have to trust that even if God allow, but he will be with us in the midst of it. As you all remember, using that reference in the 3 young men, okay, they've been thrown into the fire, but what happened? The Son of God was there with them in the midst of it. So when there's something God allowed to happen, he doesn't allow and he's outside watching, but he's always in the middle because he's the center of help in that. So that word come here is a beautiful word, which means I'm there, come. And that's assurance. You and all your household, okay, we have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation. So it's kind of God is very nice and give him a word of showing that I accept your righteousness. You have done some things. Because through his righteousness and faith, he believed in what God told him. As we mentioned last time, to spend 100 years preparing for that much of work in that big ark, it's a really a good and great faith, and really he's righteous. Steadfast in that faith for is to be faithful when things and be steadfast for 100 years, it is you are, this is righteousness. Okay? Because being held on for 100 years is a lot. "For I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation." Something I haven't mentioned last time, but I forgot to say it last to you guys, is Remember that he's building a very huge ark. Okay. How he got the money to build it and how he built it, it shows us that he was a little bit or quite rich, and he used all his richness, put it into, invested in that ark or that project. You know what I'm saying? So he was not just a normal person, poor, so he said, okay, I'm not living in things, but quiet makes sense, because where he can get all this kind of reward, and who is going to help him to build it? Okay, and we might assume, some of the founders assumes, that there's a lot of people could have been helping him in building the ark. And one of the fathers, I can remember his name, he said, he's mentioned that in his book, he said, definitely there's some people help him and get paid to build the ark, but they help in building the ark, but they don't be saved by the ark. And that's representing people who might be working in the church, voluntary or get paid to preach the word of God, but they never benefit from the word of God. Because there's some people can be a servant in the church, preaching the word of God, nowadays paid or unpaid, but at the end of the day they will not be saved. And that's what some poor warning us, say, you know, after being for that long I discipline myself, my body, I'm subdued, so I don't be not acceptable in front of God. So we have to know if we are serving God, are we benefiting from that? When we preach people, are we benefiting from that? Or it's a job, or it's a service we do as a habit and as a routine, but we're not really benefiting from that. So that ark cost, number one, the point I'm making, number one, point one, cost him a lot of money, which means he put all his money there. Okay, so he gave everything for God, or for a promise from God, which he hasn't seen, invest all that. You know, imagine you put your money for 100 years investment, and you keep putting in. If you have, you know, a business, or if you have investment and you put 20,000, 30,000, you want to see next year what's the income, what he's been putting. So he's putting his face, his effort, he's putting all his, what he owned, and because he trusts in God. That's why he was righteous. Number two, the people who might help him, according to the mentality of Almighty, say, there are a lot of people who have been helping him, but they are representing the people who are serving the word of God, but never benefit from the word of God. Verse number two, back again to the, chapter 7. Take with you 7 pairs of all clean animals, and a pair of the animals that are not clean. We stop here for a minute and we ask our questions. We never heard about something called clean unclean. That's we later on in Leviticus, in the time of Moses, said to him, this is a clean animal, this is unclean animal, and we have a list of them. So where did this one come from? What's clean unclean? And clean for what?
Sacrifice.
For sacrifice, thank you. It's not for eating. Because they haven't started eating yet, is that right? Because if we don't have an account, they start to eat until they came out of the ark. That's in chapter 9. When you start to eat meat. Is that right? You agree with me? Chapter 9. You're just jumping. Mm-hmm. Say that.
Verse 3.
Okay. Every moving thing that live shall be food for you. And as I gave you the green plant, I give you everything. So clean unclean at that time was mainly we understand, or we can understand, it's meant, as it's been said here, for the sacrifice for God. So when this happened, it looks like it was a verbal tradition Adam received from God, and he passed it on to his descendant, and until it reached Noah here, because it was known. He didn't ask, because didn't hear that Noah asked him, which one is clean, which one is unclean? He knew what God's talking about. So it was like, that's the first law which we call the verbal law, not the written law of Moses, which has been given by tradition from generation to generation. And that's for sacrifice. So when you sacrifice, it's not all the animals can be sacrificed. It has to be clean and unclean. So in our life, not everything we give to God to be accepted, it has to be according to God's will. It has to be clean, as God can see it's clean and acceptable. Okay? And he said to him, get from the clean one 7, and from the unclean you get only 1. So, if the minimum 1 for the unclean, so why we said, he said 7 here? We said that's a 7, so they can be used for more sacrifice. So you need more numbers to be sacrificed. And as we said last time, is to tell us that the number of the cleans, because the ark is in the church, the number of clean people or good people in the church are more, 7 times the number of the not good people in the church. Because unfortunately the church can have some good people and not good people. As I said, in the Matthew, the net which bring forth a good fish and a bad fish. So the church can have some people who looks good but unfortunately are not according to God's wills, and that is unclean people, and that we have to be careful about it. And verse number 4, why he kept them, at the end of number 3 he said, to keep their kind alive upon the face of all the earth. So it's just for population and to keep them to multiply. And verse 4, for in 7 days I will send rain upon the earth. That's very specific, 7 days. Okay. And this is the 7 days of creations. We start a new creations. And that's where number 7 comes from. Because the 7 days are the 7 days of the creation. So I give the 7 days because it's the beginning of a new creation we have here. And I will send rain upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. Okay. Why is he telling him that? Why he give him these figures, these numbers? Very simple.
Preparation.
So he knows he will be in a boat, on an ark, a big boat, for not less than how many days? Minimum 40 days. Okay? He will be cut off for the whole world. And he has to make sure that he has enough to keep him going for more than that, and to calculate things and allow for food. And the early father and Augustine's talking, saying to us, why we have 40 days here? Why God say 40 days? And in the numbers, according to the church fathers, most of them, which many Augustine who start that, that the 40, it represents 4 times 10. Okay? 4 times 10. 4 is the 4 corners of the earth. 10, okay, is a number of perfection, which means our life on earth, the holy life. If you live on the north or east, west or south, whoever live in the whole world, in the whole earth, okay, the life span of any human being represented by number 40, which is all his life. And finally, later on in the hour, God, Jesus Christ, was the witness for on the mountain for 40 days. We know that the people of Israel were in the wilderness for 40 years. Remember that? So that's 40 years. And then we find out, if we put the number 40, it's overcome. People who are fasting is fasting what? 40 days. Why Moses 40, Elijah 40, and Jesus Christ fast for 40? Because that 40 days, it is a time of renewing the person. It's a time, according to what the Father say here, it is the length, the all your life is there too. To live the life of repentance and to discipline yourself or your desires, and to kill the old man in us. During these 40 days, we find out the rain comes and the flood happened, and all the living bad people and bad animals or bad whatever, so bad, everything's outside, which means bad people, okay, corrupted people, died. So it takes 40 days for all this to die. So it is a time to kill and to chasten and discipline the bad things in our life. And that's why the great length is 40 days to do what? To repent, to remind us for repentance, and purification, sanctifications, to put down the old man in us and subdue our desires and our lust. Okay. And by that, you start, after the 40 days, you start a new life, which is the resurrection of Christ. And the same here, 40 days, all the bad people represented outside the ark has to die, and then with the resurrection, with opening of the ark, and Noah will come outside, and new resurrection, new life, and new beginning. In our life on earth, in personal levels, we here to discipline our body and be control of the old man in us, okay, until our life finished, the 40 days, which is our life on earth, and then resurrections, which is our spirit will be free from the body and go into the paradise or eternal life. So this is our life, it's within 40 days according to what the Father says. In the same way, we're talking about the flood represents baptism. Is that right? And what happened in baptism? We buried our old nature and we'll be getting a new nature. So that's all going with, you know, repentance and sanctifications and purifications. Okay. So this is what the church is saying. You would get up when the Tadis Yawmati? مدمنا على الأرض يلزمنا أن نختفي في الفلك حتى نبقى محفوظين في كنيسة المسيح خلال الإيمان به. So we have to, as long as we are living on earth, the 40 days represent our life on earth. And the power of the baptism, we carry it with us all the time. Baptism is not event to happen, but it's for 40 days, which means all our life. Here the baptism, or the flood, was 40 days, not one day. Flood was 40 days, which means all your life. We live the life of the baptism, or the power of the first time we came out of the baptism. It's a new beginning. This is what's happened. Is that make sense? You follow, guys? Accepted? So this is what the understanding of the 40 days, according to the early fathers. I'm not sure if we have it here in English, in the book. Nothing is mentioned there. But I have it here in the Arabic books, reference of the Kadisha of Monarchy, talking about this. 40 days, and they went in, and every living thing that I have made, I will blot out from the face of the ground. And Noah did all that the Lord has commanded. Noah was following God's commandments to that word. Verse 6, Noah was 600 years old when the flood of waters came upon the earth. And Noah and his sons, and his wife and his son's wife with him went into the ark. This part, where one of the fathers here, Cyril of Jerusalem, make a comment. Allow me to pass it on. I'm just showing you as we read. don't take it personally. He's saying here, he's just looking into and explain or contemplate on that, why he put here in that order Noah and his son and his wife and his son's wives. He separated them. He made them men, the male and female. Okay. So, CEO of Jerusalem, comment on that.
Men and women must be kept separate in church. During
what?
The... Sorry.
Okay.
During the actual exorcism, while waiting for the others, let men be with men and women with women. For now I need Noah's ark, that I may have Noah and his sons together, separate from his wife and his sons' wives. For although the ark was one and the door was closed, yet decorum was observed. So now, though the church doors are barred and you are all inside, let distinctions be kept, men with men, women with women. Let not the principle of salvation be made a pretext for spiritual license. Keeping close together is a good rule, provided that passion is kept at a distance.
Okay. Accepted?
Of course.
Accepted? So this is one of the reference why the chairs say to be separated. It means by on one side and on the other side. Okay. And we're saying another example or another explanation why in the church we separate the men from the women is here he's using the example of the ark, that the men by side and women by side. The other thing saying, okay, he talked about the living him, but we have in the book in the Gospel of Saint Matthew, one of the things at the end our Lord Jesus say that's in heaven, there will be like an angel not married, not into married. Remember that verse?
Mm-hmm.
So in heaven. We know the, we know each other, but not in a mystic way, in marriage and marriage. We know them, know each other as an angels. So this, what you call it here, emotional affections doesn't exist between the husband and the wife or the partners in heaven. Okay, they are angels. So there's no desire or affection. That's why in church, we are, the church is heaven and earth. So we are in heaven. That's representing heaven. So let the man be away so there's no fictions inside the church, but the affection and all our feelings toward God. We recognize who's next to us, we can see them, but our affection is all toward God. We're not there as a husband and wife in the flesh or on the affection or in the feeling or in the emotion, but we as a personality, and we both praising God, and our emotion are fixed on God. This is what the church sees. This is the second point of why we separate men and women in the church. Okay.
So when everyone talks about marriage and all that, you become one. But when you go to church, you have to be separated.
Separated in the what? As we're saying now, in the emotion and the desires.
Your affection is towards God.
Your affection towards God.
Yeah.
So you don't stand next.
That's okay. So
we don't stand next to your wife and you're holding hands.
No.
Okay. What was told us? If you're standing next to each other, okay. You could. Okay, so you start having affections. Okay? But if we separate it, so we are focused, our emotion toward God. Because in heaven it will be like that. In heaven, we don't have that physical emotion and feelings. We have a sweet word. And many are towards God. We know that my partner there, my father there, my mother there, my sister, we know that they exist. But it's mainly with our focus, with our all centers in Christ. We praise the Lord if we have spiritual affection will be toward God. Yes.
I just want to ask, with the whole one... I agree, don't worry. Don't look at me like that. I just want to know, with the... You know, in marriage where we have the sacrament and we become one in that sacrament, but then when we get to heaven, we're told that we're not... We have no husband.
Did you say that?
You said we're not...
There's no marriage. There's no marriage.
So if you're married on earth...
So the part here, there's no intimacy. There's no...
Is there still...
We can recognize each other. We know each other.
But there's
we
no
are
one.
There.
So you're not one, though.
No, be one through Christ in Christ, because he will become in the first Corinthians chapter 13, he said, and he will be all, we be in him, and he will be all in all. Okay, you will not be identified as a wife, or he will be identified as a husband of you. You are in Christ. We all, we are everything in, to, and for, under Christ. So only have the word of Christ, only our own. You'll not see you, your partners, in that mentality of now. You see him through Christ.
I'm just trying to understand, like, with that whole, the one being made one in that sacrament, then that's kind of like, that ends.
No, it's end only with the physical, emotional, and feeling, and the earthly, including. It will be spiritual level, it's a different level.
So you still connect to that person?
So you still know that's your mom, that's your husband?
Yes, but it's in a spiritual way.
Yeah.
Above our understanding imagination. We can just give a hint, we haven't been there yet. No one been there, no one can tell you exactly what it is. So, but it is not in the way we're thinking. Not the way, because the center of attraction and focus will be completely, okay, our Lord Jesus Christ. It will be like a magnetic field. I can see my partner is going there and I'm going, but we are all attached to Christ. We are in Christ. We are part of the big body of Christ. We are in Christ. We're not to be, you know, we're still there, he's gone. We're not thinking, we can sense them. We can sense the present, but we're not busy with the present. We're not worried about them or not. We're not thinking about them. We can sense who's there. But our main attention and feelings and focus is Christ. We are aware over there, but we're not really, okay, focusing on them. That makes sense? That's what I'm just following what he said and what the church said. Did that answer your question? Or
yes.
And that's for verse 7, coming by St. Cyril of Jerusalem. Of the clean animals and of animals that are not clean, and again it said the same, he repeating, everything that crept on the ground. Two and two, male and female, went into the ark with Noah, as God has commanded Noah. And after 7 days, the water of the flood came upon the earth. So it was 7 days to for him. That's the beginning, to the beginning, the end of the 7 days, and start anew. With the 8 days is a new beginning. And that's 7 days to give him a warning to start to close and finish everything he should have finished. And that's what he said. And Noah, and he did as God has commanded him. So he makes sure that everyone's inside. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, on the 17th day of the month, so 17th day of the second month of the year 600 of his life, on that day, all the fountains of the great deep burst forth, and the windows of the heaven were opened, and rain fell upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. On the very same day, Noah and his sons, Shem and Ham and Japheth, and Noah's wife and the three wives of his sons with them entered the ark. Okay. The day is very important. We know it's on there. 17 days of the second month. That's very important. Of the year 600 of his life. And tell us here in that verse 11 what happened. As we mentioned last time, we find that all the fountain of the great deep burst forth, come from fountain, from earth, from down, and the window of heaven will open. So the water from both sides, it's not just the rain. That's something different, never happened before. And if you remember, those who has studied with us in the beginning, we said with the rain, that for the first time a heavy rain comes like that, and as we said, we have a big, something like a tent of vapors around the earth, and that was first an Ubin. And that's make it very clear, it is a universal flood. It's not a local flood. Every place, and the water from above and down. And this is baptism, the water from everywhere. Because the baptism is the water to cover. So even it is an ark, a boat, floating, but there's water coming from down and coming from above. So from everywhere there's a water. So which means it's a full immerse. And that's why our baptism, by immersions in the water. So the water has to be from everywhere. Not from the top only or from the bottom. It has to be from everywhere, all around. And this is another proof of the baptism, which means covering and by immersion in the water. Saint Mar Ephraim, he have a contemplations here and meditation and say something beautiful. Is during our life, remember the 40 days is our life on earth, when we have tribulations, we are in the ark, we are in Christ. But there will be tribulations, rain from above and fountain from down, which is the two sides of temptation any man will be exposed to it. From down, which means from the from earth, which means from the flesh, because our flesh made from earth. So temptation from the earth, which is our desire, temptation. This is part of our tribulation, tempting us and give us hard time. And then from heaven, which means the thoughts, which comes into our mind and try to tempt us and get us the thoughts of anger, the thoughts of envy and bad thoughts, bad ideas, doubt. So we have something comes from the top, from our head, which is the rain from above, is some tribulations can come upon us, and from the earth, which is our desire. So our body can bring in temptations, and our mind, our thoughts, can bring more troubles and tribulations. But in Christ, you are protected. So the only way to be safe from the above and from the bottom is being in Christ. Let me double check on the book what you're saying here. The water from above, it is the thoughts, the bad thoughts and the bad, you know, ideas, image, it comes to our mind. And the water from down, it is what comes into the body, the desires and the temptation of the body. But if you are in Christ, which is represented by the ark, you are saved. Tribulation will happen, but we said, come, which means I'm with you, according to Saint Mary Francis. So we are protected. The more you are in Christ, the more you are protected. The more you live the life of repentance, which is the life of baptism, which cleanses us, okay, this is how it is. So let these temptations not to make you drown, but to make you clean, which he taken by Christ. God will make us all this, all the things are for the good for those who love Christ. So God will allow this happen, but his purpose for this is to cleanse us, not to fall into temptations. If there was a hole in the ark, the water comes in. But if the ark is closed, no water can come in. If you are fully covered with Christ, if you are in Christ, this temptation will be just a trials and temptations, but you can overcome. There will be tribulation in the world, but don't be feared, because I overcome temptation. I overcome the world. What Jesus Christ saying? So we have victory in Christ. If you hide yourself completely in Christ, you are saved. And you can overcome any tribulation by just being covered by Christ and by covering by the grace of God all the time. And keep yourself in. What do we have here? 40 days and 40 nights. On the very, verse 13, on the very same day, Noah and his sons, Shem and Ham and Japheth, and Noah's wife and the wife, with them, entered into the ark. They and every beast according to its kind, the same things, and the cattle according to their kind, and every creeping thing that creep on the earth according to its own kind, and every bird according to its own kind, it's just coming there. They went in, verse 15, look at that. They went into the ark. And that was said. God pushed them and moved them in. Noah didn't do anything. It's all done by God. They went in. The same. God said to them, come, as he said to Noah, and they came. God sent them, and he directed them, and they listened to God. They went into the ark with Noah. Two and two of all flesh, he beating himself here again, and even there was a bit of life, and they that entered, male and female of all flesh, went in as God has commanded him, and the Lord, what?
Shut him in.
What we mean by shut him in?
Closing the door.
Closing from outside. Call us from outside. Shut him in, or shut them in. A very important point here with Tobel. Closing the door outside. So, God is the one to decide and to declare and to tell us who can be saved, who is not. The one who tell us who can be saved. That's why he closed the door. That's number one. Number two. He closed the door because it's written there. He is the only one who had the key of David. And he's the one to open and the one to what? To close. To go to heaven, it's God. He's the one who called us. And he's the one who allowed us in. Why he shut him in? To tell him the last things to prove to Noah and Noah's liver that it's my will. It's not your imagination to that minute. And shutting the door, seeing the power or the great power of the hand of God, closing him in, secure him in. As much as God wanted him, don't worry, I'm securing you, I'm sealing you in. And that's the seal of God on us. Having his seal covered us. It's the seal of God. And when the seal of God on envelope or in things, no one can touch or broke that seal. Number three or four, whatever, is the saying here, God doesn't want him. He shut it from inside so he cannot open. So he would not have any agony of seeing people dying. Because by closing him, he was just like a close. There's no window, you cannot see anything. Just a small little, window in the top of the ark, so he cannot see what's happening around him. So, God protect him from seeing people dying. You understand that? Imagine the ark was a big ark, and the only way outside is just a small little window on the top, on the third floor, and just look into heaven. So, there's no way. Okay, he can see how people die or anyone, anything around him die. So God protect him from that agony or that feeling of what's happening. So he will not have these memories. Okay. God wipe away all bad memories from our mind. He doesn't allow it to come in. God is completely looking after him and saving him completely. It's very, very important to know that He closed. Let's see what exactly is that here. Verse what we are up to, what else here? 15. Let's read what the Sophie system is saying.
God ensures Noah's well-being. Chrysostom. The text goes on. The Lord God shut the ark from the outside. Notice in this place too the considerateness in the expression, God shut the ark from the outside, to teach us that he had ensured the good man's complete safety. The reason for adding from the outside to he shut was that the good man might not be in the position of seeing the disaster occur and suffering even greater distress. I mean, if he brooded over that terrible flood and set indelibly in his mind the destruction of the human race, the complete annihilation of all brute beasts, and the disappearance, as it were, of people, animals, and the earth itself, he would have been disturbed and anguished.
Okay. Let's jump to this one.
Can you read that?
Shut the door by a fire, yes. Mm. Next one.
God shuts the door to prevent those outside from breaking in, Ephraim the Syrian. The Lord shut the door before Noah, lest those left behind come at the time of the floods and break down the gate of the ark. The deluge came, and God blotted out all flesh. Only Noah was left and those that were with him in the ark. The springs of the abyss and the floodgates of heaven were open 40 days and 40 nights, and the ark was afloat for 150 days.
So, Chrysostom saying that's just to protect him from the pain of seeing people suffering. And Ephraim the Syrian is talking about is from the outside, people cannot walk, come in, because God shut it with a mighty hand. And this is the same like in Matthew, the parable of the 10 virgins, when the door was closed and the five foolish could not come in, because there's a time to close the door. And God is the one who closed the door. No one knows how to close the door and how to close the door. It's God who closed the door and say, the door is closed. And the one outside cannot come, it's too late. They've been taken 120 years, okay, which are the four generations at the time, 100 years at the four generations. And they could not repent, and not at the last minute. They cannot repent at the last minute and be accepted. After they waste 120 years, of not repenting. So there's a time, and God is the one to determine the time and the way and how to shut it and who is allowed in and who is not allowed in. The righteous with faith allowed in. The people who don't accept the work of the Holy Spirit in them and repent, they are the one who will be left outside. As the same, the five foolish virgins that have oil with them, which is oil represent the Holy Spirit, so they're not filled with the Holy Spirit, or refuse the act of the Holy Spirit in their life.
I'm going to Ephraim, when he says 40 days and 40 nights the heavens will open the floodgates, so it means that the flood or the rain or the water came for 40 days and 40 nights.
Mm-hmm.
Then it says the ark was afloat for 150 days. Does that mean it was just on the water for 150 days, just
waving in the water? Yes,
okay.
And after that's what we'll find later on, this after 150 days, okay, it stayed on the top of one of the mountains.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And when the water started, because it's just going.
Yeah.
And after that the water started to go down. After 150 days, the water started to go down, decreased, and the ark stood or stopped on the top of the mountain. That's chapter 8. Okay, we'll see that. So this is why God shut the doors, because there's a time, and God is the only one who opened and the one who closed, as in Revelation 3:7. Revelation 3:7.
talk about the second month and the 17 days?
No, we need to know it now to link it with the last month, so we can work out how long he's been there. Revelation 3, chapter 3, verse 7.
And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things says he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens.
Okay. Which is mean God. Our Lord Jesus Christ, he doesn't want to open and doesn't want to shut. Okay. Of course, the Bible tells us it's shut, but it doesn't tell us how we shut it, so... It's not very important because it's not mentioned, so it's not important. The mighty God shut the door with the strong wind, you know, whatever. But it doesn't mean that he came down, incarnated, or take the shape of man to shut the door, because it's not a small door. It's a work of God. And was a big power, as the Father said. So we don't think about how, as long as we know that God say he it's done by God himself. And the water, in verse 19, sorry, 18, sorry, the water, what's how say?
Prevailed. The waters prevailed.
Yes, read it again.
The waters prevailed and greatly increased on the earth, and the ark moved about on the surface of the waters.
19.
And the waters prevailed exceedingly on the earth, and all the high hills under the whole heaven were covered. The waters prevailed 15 cubits upward, and the mountains were covered.
How many times do you have the word prevailed here?
Three times.
3 verse, 18, 19, 20. The same word has been repeated. It is the work of God, the Trinity, the Divine, the power of God here. Because we talk about here a new creation. Done by the Trinity. Would that make sense? So it's 3 times the water prevails. Okay. It is an important. We now back again to Genesis 1. We have a new beginning of the whole earth. And if you remember, when we talk about in chapter 1, we find exactly they have the same things. That the water was everywhere in verse 6:16. Verse 2, the darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. The whole earth was covered with water. Now we have the same things happen again. We are in the first 3 days of creations. And God, after that, spread between the waters. And then the land started to appear. Remember, in the first, second, and third days of the first 3 days of creations? That's why he's repeating the same things, but in different levels. As if he wanted to tell us in chapter 7, which is chapter 7, it's repeating what happened in chapter 1, a new creation. We have the 7 days of creation again, what will happen. And the earth will bring forth all living creation, and that's when the ark was open, all the animals come out, and Adam come out on the 6th day. This all will come out. So, it is here to give us an account of we are dealing with a second creation, okay, in a metaphoric way, to tell us that's how the same scenario God is using here, that the water prevailed over the earth for 3 days, which means the whole earth was covered with water, and now we're starting again. And we'll find, just remember, you can see the water all over, okay, imagine that. And we have in verse, chapter 8, verse 1, I just jumped to that because it's to confirm what I'm saying. And God made a wind blow over the earth, and the waters subside. that wave or that wind, the word wind in Hebrew is the same word, in the same, we use it for wind and for spirit, ruh. Ruh, riah. In Hebrew it's the same word. In the root word is still the same in Hebrew. So now we have the same account of the water over, and God and His, the Spirit was what? Hovering over the water. This is a new beginning. Okay. And this is baptism, water and Spirit. Baptism and confirmation. The Holy Spirit is there. So we are starting again the new world again. And Noah is going to start, and it's number 8. It's after 7. So we have the 7 and the 8 here coming a lot in the things. Timing is very important. So verse 21, sorry, verse 19, and say, and the water be right, we talk about the be right, so mighty upon the earth that all the high mountains under the whole heaven were covered. All the high, he didn't say some of the heights, all the high under the whole heaven, which tell us it is a universal. He keep repeating the whole and the whole and all the height. Covering them 15 cubits deep. And all flesh died that moved upon the earth. Bird, cattle, beast, all swarming creature that roam upon the earth, and every man. Everyone died. That's the 40 days we're talking about, that's death happening. And that's killing of the old man. So that the new one will be the new creation in us. As in baptism, we killed or buried the old man to become a new man, being born again in us. He blotted, verse 23, he blotted out every living thing that was upon the face of the ground, man and animals and creeping things and bird of theirs. He keep repeating, they were blotted out from the earth. Only Noah was left, and those that were with him in the ark. And the water prevailed, that's number 4, upon the earth 150 days. 150 days. I think he has a meaning here. Okay. Since here, tell us what's 150 days. We'll finish with that. It's in Arabic, so I'll try to translate. God help me. Okay. 150 days, he's saying that 150 days is 5 months. Which represent the 5 senses of man. Tribulation will come on us, and it will be there on our senses. Because from our senses, okay, we deal with the whole world. And this is our windows. And through that, temptation can come into us. So, tribulation will be coming on the senses of man, and he has to protect his senses, which is 5 months. Okay. Everyone, it's a full month, which is a more full time. So, we'll be tempted in our life through these things. Okay, sometimes through your eyes, sometimes through your feelings or your smell or the desires and the body and all these are 5, you know, about them, or touching, these are 5 senses we have. And it's up to us to keep them protected until after 50, 150, what will happen to the water? So the water there is to, it's water for our senses to be purified. And when our senses have been purified, the water goes down and we would be raised in the mount, which means in something very solid. So when temptation comes, it comes very strong, like a rain, but doesn't disappear. It's still working and try to eat in us. And we have to be strong and firm until all our senses be pure. And then the water of tribulations, which is the rain, and as we said that, the above and one, will die after that. So they come in hammering, ask for a while, and it will take time until they die. Don't think temptation will finish quickly. It will take longer time when it comes, or tribulation. It's a very, very hard one, so I'll just try to simplify for you. And this is 150, which is mean 5 months. And this is the time our soul has to keep going to protect our five senses and make it strong and strong and more clean.
When we read on, it actually says a 7th month.
What's 7 months?
When we read on, I'm not there yet. But
that's chapter 8.
Yeah, chapter 8.
Yes, yeah. That's what we were talking about. It's time, which is the calculation of the times.
Mm.
Okay? And what is the 150? Because we have to make an account of the 40 days of the rain and then 150 and work it out and we'll see how it will start to work out. Okay. In the 7 months, just because you asked that question, that's where it will stay. But it would start, the water was above. So we have 40, I was going to say that next week, but because you asked that question.
No, sorry.
Okay. 40 days and 150, the rain for 40 days and then 150, and then it start to go down. Until the 7 months, that's where he rested, but still hasn't been taken down. We're going to do a diagram next time and show you what is the timing.
Okay?
It is, because at the end of the day, we'll find it will be almost a year for them to come out. That will be next time.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.